Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. On today's episode of Franchise Euphoria, thrilled to have on Tim Vogel. Tim is the CEO of a franchise called Scenthound, a wellness-focused, membership-based dog grooming business that is focused on preventative care for dogs, focusing on skin, coat, ears, nails, and teeth. That's what Scent stands for. Scenthound sets themselves apart by giving dogs the quality care they need. Today, there are four locations open and operating in South Florida, but I think around 20, 25 units in development in total. And they just started franchising a year and a quarter ago. So pretty fast growth. But as you'll hear from this interview, this has been a long time in the making. And Tim has done an incredible job of vetting things out, testing different models in different locations. And he brings a very interesting and good background to this business. So really enjoyed speaking with Tim. This is a unique franchise in the dog sector. So I was thrilled to talk to Tim, and I think you'll find it very valuable. Without further ado, here's my interview with Tim Vogel. Hello, Tim. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Josh. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you. You know, I've had a lot of people on this show. This actually marks over 300 episodes at this point. And I'm not sure I've ever had a franchise like yours on my show. I've had a lot of dog franchises, or at least a handful of dog or pet franchises. But I want to learn about your background. But tell us real quick about this franchise, because it is a little bit of a unique species for the space that it's in.
Yeah, we're a bit of a unique breed, as we say, right?
So exactly.
The first thing I would say is congratulations on the over 300. That's really awesome. And I think consistency drives results. So to see that you've been at this game for a while is really totally awesome. The second thing I would talk about really quick is what Scenthound is. So the first easiest way to understand it is Scent is actually an acronym. It stands for skin, coat, ears, nails, and teeth, which are the five core areas that all dogs need care. And so kind of in a sentence, what we are is a membership-based, wellness-focused dog grooming business. And the easiest way to explain that is about 80% of dogs in this country don't need a haircut, but all dogs need care. And there's really just no fast, easy, and affordable way for people who have the boxer or the chihuahua or the golden retriever to get that basic care, because the grooming shops are really set up to be about haircuts. And so what we did is we really said, let's break the grooming process down into parts so that you only pay for what you need. And so our membership is $25 a month for once a month, or unlimited for $45. And what that gets you is a bath, clean the ears, clip the nails, brush the teeth. We can get your dog in and out the door about 15 to 20 minutes. And then if you want to add on things like a brush out and a blow dry, or a haircut, or a dental treatment, or any other kind of preventive health things that we do, you can easily do that.
That's really cool. I mean, and you started, I mean, your background, because you started the business, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Talk about how you started this business. You started doing it mobile, and how it's grown into what it is now, and then describe sort of the current model.
Yeah. So the job I had before starting this business was a company called FlexCar. It was a car sharing service that I launched in the Washington, D.C. area. Ultimately ended up merging with a company called Zipcar. Now they're one company, but I really like that model, and I really understood the per unit model. And so when I started thinking about starting my own business, me and my wife got a dog, I fell in love, I said this would be a really cool thing to do. Mobile grooming was a natural fit, because I kind of understood, you know, how to track and do intelligent routing, and, you know, the at-home services were really taking off. And so I had this really grand idea of starting a mobile pet grooming business and then franchising it. My wife and I recently had a kid. We lived in the DC area. We were looking for a quality of life change. So we moved to Florida and I started this business. And I had lots of grand visions of kind of what I was going to do with this business. And I quickly realized I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And there were a whole lot of barriers and challenges to scalability within the mobile grooming business. And so that's kind of how it all started. Went to grooming school just to learn how it worked, got my first van, hired a groomer, started to build the mobile grooming business, and then ran up against this barrier. And so as I grew that business, I solved for a lot of problems with just kind of hard work or creative solutions and got that business to about 4 vans over kind of a 2-year period. But it wasn't what I envisioned, and I certainly couldn't imagine franchising it because of the scalability problems. And so over the next handful of years, I really set about, how do we solve the scalability problems? And, you know, grooming is a huge opportunity, but highly fractured. Something like 96% of pet grooming business in the U.S. have like 3 or less employees. So super fractured. Just a very complex business. And there was a reason it was fractured. It was just complex and hard to scale. And so over the years, I opened up a grooming salon. We took training in-house. We stopped trying to hire groomers. We started making them. We split some of the functions up between different types of roles. And the business slowly evolved over the years until we finally came up with the Scenthound concept, where we started to really understand the marketplace, the customers' needs, how they wanted to interact with the business. It was quite a long journey. And so once we kind of came up with this concept, we tested one unit, then we started a second unit. We ultimately ended up with 4 different retail locations, each of them running their own experiments, testing different membership models, shampoo types, customer interactions, to ultimately get to the Scenthound model, where we felt comfortable that we had the numbers right, the ease of execution right, the brand positioning right, that we could actually now bring this to market as a franchise.
Well, so what did you identify as one of the big differences? Because obviously you had a background with sort of the car sharing business that ended up becoming Zips. What did you find that was different between that versus trying to do that with dog grooming?
Yeah, so it was really around staffing and execution. So I think the best way to put it is the groomer's a trade, and it takes a long time to really get good at your trade. You know, there's a couple hundred different breed standard haircuts, and you really need to know kind of how to manage each and every one of those breeds, something called angulation, shaping. So finding a talented groomer was kind of very hard to begin with. Then finding a talented groomer that was really good with customers was even harder to find. And then finding a talented groomer that was good with customers that could drive a vehicle safely was even more hard to find. And so that was kind of the largest barrier. And what we also found is that when you became a good groomer, you became in high demand. You know, all the vets wanted you. Everybody wanted the groomer in their business to attract clients for the other parts of their business. And so the price you had to pay for this skilled kind of artist all of a sudden started to wash out the profit of the business. And so that was probably the largest challenge. And so one of the things that we did is we went out to one of the larger grooming schools in the nation. We bought their curriculum and we put an apprenticeship program in place in one of our centers. And we started making groomers. And so that was the beginning of kind of solving some of those, that one big problem.
Do you certify? I mean, are they like certified Scenthound?
Yep, we call them Scent Tech. And so part of the cool thing about our business now is there's a built-in career path. So you start as a Scent Tech and you just start doing the bathing, just the clear bathing. And then you go through a series of courses, training. And so within 30 days, you can get a raise right out of the gate if you meet certain criteria. And then 60 days in, you can get another raise, and 90 days, and you're learning your skills along the way. The other thing that we did is we started simplifying the job. One of the really big innovations in our business is the haircut. You know, we have a lot of people come in that want a specific type of haircut for their breed. And we said, you know what, we're not going to do that anymore. Let's do it so it's just one haircut for all dogs. If you want a haircut, it's going to be one length all over. That's it. And that was a big pivot point in our business, where we went back to 2 of our existing locations and said, we're no longer going to do breed standard haircuts. We're just going to do one length all over.
How did people react to that? I mean, that's a big change.
Oh, it was a big risk. And I was really scared when I did it. What ended up happening was really pretty powerful. We lost about 5% of our overall business. And what we found is that 5% of that business was the toughest part of our business. These were people that were really picky about Fluffy's top knot or the angulation on their dog. And so it actually created greater scalability, because what we found is the 95% of people out there that were getting their dog's haircut just wanted them to look cute. One length all over was totally fine for them. They didn't need the pom-poms and the poofs. And you know what? There's stylists all around the place. So the people that really wanted the stylist, we could send them to the stylist, but we could really do the preventive care and the wellness.
And so that's a really interesting point, because folks who are tuning in, who have their own business, running their own business, contemplating it, buying a franchise or, you know, the like, when you make that kind of decision in your business, I mean, talk about that process. It's maybe a little bit of an odd question, but I think it's important. There's a lot of people who have ideas about how they can make their businesses more efficient, you know, focusing on the more essential parts of it, getting rid of the things that are not essential. You know, a lot of people do that at the end of the year, where they sort of look to the following year and say, okay, where are the most profitable verticals in the business and what are some things I could get rid of? But obviously in the midst of a crisis too, like we're dealing with COVID-19 and other issues, you know, it's a good time for doing that as well. But it's really hard to go from thinking about doing something like that to actually pulling the trigger and actually executing on that and saying, okay, let's just see how this shapes out. I mean, what gave you the confidence to really finally make the move and say, okay, we're going to do this? Because that does seem like a big shift for your business, and I give you props for doing it. But what ultimately allowed you or freed you up to make that decision?
I think there was two big components to this. Number one, I always had a vision around solving for scalability. So understanding kind of where we were going was a kind of key to being able to make that decision. So if I was just kind of like, oh, let me try this, let me try that, that's a lot less powerful than saying, this is a barrier for me getting from here to where I want to be. And so I need to solve this problem. I think so, just having a clear vision of where I wanted to be. And I think the second thing is following the numbers, really understanding kind of, okay, how much does the haircut part of the business generate in revenue? How many dogs out there actually need haircuts? What is the blue ocean opportunity for us to serve the 80% of dogs that need care but don't need haircuts? So how can we, and that's really around this brand positioning, along with that change in the haircut mentality, we shifted the entire focus of the brand. And we went really from being about haircuts to being about health. And this was actually very counterintuitive at the time, because the entire grooming industry was and still is really moving in the direction of better and better artistry, better and better styling. But once you started looking at the numbers and understanding kind of the dog population and the needs of these dogs, we realized the numbers didn't support that. You know, we were swimming in what would be called the red ocean, where we're fighting for that 20% of that dog population with all of the other stylists. And see, we said, well, wait a minute, there's 80% over there that need care, but don't have a way to get it fast, easy, and affordably. And so that's when we made that big pivot.
It probably helps them too, just with, you know, the ears, the nails, and the teeth. I mean, I know we've had dogs, and right now with the two that we had passed away, and we're looking to replace them eventually, but get others. But, you know, I know if you take care of their ears, their nails, their teeth, and other types of concerns, you can help alleviate vet visits and other kinds of things that pop up.
Oh, yeah.
Which can be, I mean, I always joke with my wife, I said, I don't know the last time I ever went to a vet and it wasn't at least $500. Like somehow it just magically just be, you know, it's just between medication, between the procedures, everything else like that. So if you approach the wellness part of it, then you can help, I think, alleviate some of those things, some of those infections and so forth.
Well, and that messaging is, it turns out to be way more powerful and a lot stickier than the haircut message. And so kind of one small data point is up to 80% of dogs by the age of three have some form of periodontal disease. And if you cared for your dog's teeth on a regular basis, you could potentially extend their life 2 to 5 years. So it's really 2 years for large dogs, up to 5 years for small dogs. So you don't know what you don't know. And so once we start educating our customers about kind of the impact of this regular maintenance, it's significant. And talk about reducing vet bills, but also extending the life of this family member, which you care so much about.
I mean, I think that's a really interesting and smart shift that you made. And so now you're focusing this brand, Scenttown, on wellness as opposed to just the haircut, just the look. Then how do you, you know, sort of interesting, you go from this mobile component to now it sounds like more of a retail side, right? I mean, talk about the actual locations. Like, what do they look like? What does that feel like when you go into them? And what's their size?
Yeah. So as we really started to think about caring for the dog, what we started to realize is that people are busy. We knew that, right? And so, you know, all of us have this laundry list of things that needs to get done. And typically the dog's at the bottom of that laundry list. And we fundamentally believe kind of caring for the dog is considered an errand for most people. So we found that if we put our centers in a shopping center or grocery store anchored or errand intensive anchored shopping centers, people can combine their errands. And so what people are doing now is they're dropping their dog off, they're going to the grocery store, picking their dog up and going home, or going to the coffee shop, or getting a sub, or going to the bank, or going to the dry cleaners. And so that's really the education we give our customers, is it's really about how do we make it, again, fast, easy, and affordable for you, and how do you combine your errands so that you're not actually thinking about the dog, you're thinking about grocery shopping, but now the grocery shopping triggers, oh, I probably want to get the dog clean too. And the reality is, people aren't washing their own cars, they're not mowing their own lawns, they're not cleaning their own pools, and people don't want to wash their own dogs now. And with 62% of small dogs sleeping in their owners' beds or on their furniture, people want a clean dog now. And so we were able to make it part of their errand routine without actually adding any extra time for them. So our centers are basically 1,000 to 1,200 feet of space, inline retail and grocery store or errand intensive shopping centers.
That's good. I mean, that's not too big. I mean, that's a relatively compact area. But again, people aren't dropping their dogs off there for the day.
Yeah, no, so 15 to 20 minutes inside, in and out. And we find that, you know, kind of on our busier days, we can do over 100 dogs in a day per center.
Wow. And then you guys, so you started franchising this in what, last year?
Yeah, so we're really kind of a year and a quarter into it right now.
What gave you the confidence? At what point did you realize, okay, we are ready to franchise this? We feel like the model's proven out enough and we're ready to go grow this thing.
Over the years, all of my staff wanted to kill me because I continued to experiment. But because of all of those experiments, like, you know, each location had a different membership model. We had messaging that was different. We tested different shampoos. But because we really used the scientific method across all of our locations to slowly identify kind of the winners of each of those experiments, that gave me a lot of confidence that we were ready because I had a confidence level that we tried everything. The other thing is the net profit we were able to generate. And we had significantly increased our net profit by running all of these experiments. So we knew we had a winner. And really, there was kind of two big decision points around franchising. One was scaling before, you know, we've got a great idea and we're going to get copied. And so we want to really establish ourselves as the brand. And the other thing is I really love entrepreneurship and business ownership. And I'm a big part of EO. I ran something called the Accelerator Program at EO for years.
Oh, sure.
And so I love kind of the entrepreneurial journey. So franchising really dovetailed the business I love with another part I love about entrepreneurship and helping people own their own businesses. All of that stuff really, it became very clear and almost kind of not even a decision that needed to be made that this was the direction to go.
So how's it been?
So we're going to hit 25 total units by tomorrow.
In a year and a half?
In a year and a quarter.
Year and a quarter. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself, talk about that. You know, you decide to franchise, you've tested this out. Obviously, you've done the work, it sounds like, which is a huge thing. I mean, you know, a lot of people rush into franchising. They don't take the time. They don't test these things out. But now you're going full-fledged into franchising. How are you getting the word out when you're first starting to franchise to even get people to even consider the concept?
Yeah, so I think understanding who your ideal client was a big learning curve for us. We really started by saying, hey, we want dog lovers. And what we really found out is we want people who want to change in their life and they want to take on entrepreneurialism and who happen to love dogs as well. And so getting kind of dialed in on kind of who our ideal candidate was one. And then number two, really getting clear on kind of what our strategy was to approach the market. And we tried lead generation and a whole bunch of other things, but we ultimately decided on a broker strategy, because that's just where kind of a lot of the candidates are going these days.
That's where things are going. I mean, that's where things have gone, right? So in other words, you are working with a third-party broker group that basically goes out and helps to find qualified leads.
Correct.
Who are you looking for? I mean, if you could draw it up or sketch it out, who's the perfect type of franchisee? Obviously, they need to, like, as you said, they need to have an affinity for pets and they have to be entrepreneurial. But what are some of the other attributes that you're looking for your ideal franchisees?
Our ideal franchisee is buying a three pack. And the reason a three pack is really perfect is because when you start one of these things, everyone you're hiring gets on this career path. And within a year, you've already got too many qualified technicians. They all become trimmers, as the language we use internally, which ultimately you pick the best of those to run or be your managers in your centers. And so by year one, you've got three or four people that you can pick from to kind of manage your next center. So that gives them the opportunity to have in-house a person that you know exceptionally well be the manager for your next center. And then you've got two centers from the ground up building all of these really great employees, creating this career path, which creates sustainability within the business. And it creates an opportunity to really make a nice return on your investment, you know, let alone one, which you can make a fantastic return on. You could do that with three. And so someone who's got some experience in managing, you know, some corporate experience of managing managers, managing people, managing processes. And so, you know, someone who's coming out of that corporate world that wants to start their own business, that has a real kind of ability to manage processes, understand the numbers, and follow a system. That's really our ideal candidate.
Well, and how's COVID? I mean, obviously you're a year and a quarter into this, and for the last several months, obviously been dealing with COVID-19. How have you been dealing with that? Have you been dealing with that with your new franchisees?
So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. But with that being said, I think the first thing I would say is the last month, which we just ended, which was May, we had the most profitable month out of our corporate stores ever. And so there's a couple dynamics that are behind that. The first dynamic is when people get forced to work from home, they're around their pets more. And so they're paying a whole lot more attention to their pets. They're actually interacting with their pets a lot more. So their pets are getting dirty faster. And our mission really is to remove barriers so that people can love and connect with their dogs. So if they're not healthy, if they're not clean. So people want their dogs clean. They're paying more attention to them. The second thing that's really big that's happening right now is if I have to work from home for the next 2 or 3 months, now is a perfect time for me to get a dog because I'm home the whole time. I can train a puppy. I can potty train, really get them acclimated.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about timing, you know, when you come home for lunch or having somebody stop by the house or, yeah.
And so the other part of it is, you know, we ran this business through 2007, 2008, and we did not see a dip then either. So we really are a recession-proof business. So our corporate centers really continuing to operate very strongly. And the fact that people are now saying, I want to get into my own business. I lost my job, but what's safe? You know, what will hold up even if a recession comes, which puts us into the forefront because we really are more recession proof or resistant than a lot of the businesses out there. And I think the other part of that is because we're not having one-to-one interaction. So we set up a whole new system where only one customer allowed in the lobby at a time. We have a handoff process where there's actually no contact between us. All of our employees are assigned an asset within the center. So they stay at a table, they stay at a tub. So there's no contact with our employees inside. We've been able to make all the hard changes around keeping our employees safe, keeping our customers safe, and ultimately keeping our community safe. So that allowed us to continue to operate in a very safe way. I think we're just lucky because I think there are a lot of businesses out there. If you're a bowling alley or a movie theater, for example, it's much more challenging to be able to do those kinds of things.
And so you went completely away from the mobile. Like there's no, you guys don't do any mobile pickup or any of that. There's no more vans as part of this model.
So I still have my fleet of vans. They do exceptionally well. The challenge with mobile is finding the trimmers, right? If you add it to say a three pack, so if I've got three of my units in a specific territory, there may someday be a future where you could add on a mobile component because I have a very successful location that's got a fleet of mobiles running out of that, you know, 1,200 square feet, and it does exceptionally well.
Yeah, you know, it's a convenience thing, right?
Yes.
At a certain point. And if you've got those locations there, so that's an option depending on the scenario.
Correct. And we understand that mobile serves, you know, in general, a different demographic than our centers serve. So you could actually capture more of the market that way.
Well, if you want to learn more about Scenthound, you can go to scenthoundfranchise.com. You can also find them on Facebook, find them on LinkedIn, and I'm sure other places as well. Tim, thank you so much for coming on and sharing about it. I think it's a really fascinating and interesting brand and concept, and I really enjoyed hearing your story about how you've sort of evolved it and how it has evolved over these many years. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for having us on. Really honored to be here.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.